The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
As just mentioned, our scripture reading for tonight is Psalm 90. Let's turn in God's Word tonight to Psalm 90. We will read the whole chapter. The text for tonight's sermon is verse 12. Psalm 90. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all our generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We end our scripture reading at that point. The text for tonight's sermon is verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. With the passing of another year, we are reminded of the relentless march of time. That in turn points us and reminds us of the fact that our God is the one who is sovereign over time. He controls the passing of time, and He governs all that takes place within time. Which also reminds us of our own inability to control time, and thus the importance of using the time that we do have wisely. In light of these things, Psalm 90, verse 12 is an appropriate text for us to consider on this occasion of the end of another year, the year 2019. For Psalm 90, verse 12, really the psalm as a whole, speaks to the brevity of human life and therefore the importance of wisdom in light of that reality. Psalm 90 is the only psalm that's ascribed to Moses as its human writer. Moses, the meek leader of Israel, the outstanding type of Jesus Christ, he understood these things. He understood the brevity of life and the importance for wisdom, and therefore he makes the request that he does here in the text that we are considering tonight. He asks God to teach him to number his days, so that he may gain a heart of wisdom thereby. And on this occasion of a close of another year, it's appropriate that we turn to this text, to seek to understand and to make this prayer our own. Numbering our days, that's the theme for this passage. Numbering our days. Tonight we will look first at the important request, second, at the desired result, and third, the divine teacher. Numbering our days, first, the important request, second, the desired result, and third, the divine teacher. Moses' important request is this, verse 12, teach us to number our days. This verse is about numbering. To number means to count. And there are many things that are numbered in the Bible. David sinfully numbered the people of Israel. Jehoiada, the high priest, numbered, that is, he counted all of the money that was brought to repair the temples in the days of Jehoash. Shepherds number their sheep as they pass under their hand to make sure that they're all there. And the Bible teaches us that our God numbers the very stars. He gives them all their names. Well, here, Moses asks God to teach him to number his days. His days. Those are the things being numbered or counted. And now our days refer to the whole span of our life, from the day that we're born, all of the days in between until the day that we die. Those are our days. And Moses' request is, God, teach us to number those days, to count those days. By this request, Moses is not asking God to teach him to count back the number of days he's already lived. We teach our children how to count at a very young age. Moses is not asking for basic math instruction here. He's not asking for the ability to communicate how old we are in days. It's not as though he wants to be able to say, not only am I 32 years old tonight, but I'm also 11,769 days old. Yes, that is my age in days. But that's not the point of this request. Moses is not asking for the ability to count how many days he's already lived. Nor is he asking God to reveal how much time he has left to live. God is certainly able to do that. He did so for Hezekiah. He told Hezekiah, you have 15 years. You have 5,475 days to live. God knows such numbers because such numbers are part of His eternal counsel. But ordinarily, with rare exceptions like Hezekiah, ordinarily God does not reveal that to us. And nor is Moses asking God to give him that information. So what is Moses asking for? Moses is requesting that God teach him to understand the brevity of human life. To understand the brevity of human life, for our days are indeed numbered. The span of our life is relatively short. There's a limited number of days that we are going to live, and Moses understood that. He mentions that in verse 10, Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Children, Moses speaks of 70 years and 10 and 80. A score equals 20. So when he says 70 and 10, we take 3 times 20 equals 60 plus 10, 70 years, or 80 years is 4 times 20, 80 years. Moses is saying that in general, this is how long man can expect to live, 70 to 80 years. Obviously, there are exceptions. Some die at a younger age. To others, God gives strength so that their life goes beyond 70 to 80 years. But in general, if all goes well, if a man stays healthy, he can expect to live 70 to 80 years. And Moses views this as a relatively small amount of time. He says there in verse 10, it is soon cut off. It's a short period of time. And that's evident from the text when he asks God to teach him to number his days. He's not asking God to teach him to number his years, not his months, not even his weeks, but his days. That points to the brevity of human life. It can be counted in days. And so also, the fact that our days can be numbered shows that our life is relatively short on this earth. Unlike the stars in the sky, unlike the sand upon the seashore, our days are relatively easy to count. All of this points to the brevity of human life. And now by this request, Moses is asking God to impress this truth upon him, to make him conscious that our days are limited, to help us to recognize the brevity of human life, to remember that we are mortal, to understand the transience of our lives, to help us to know that our days are like the grass that springs up quickly, but then it dies in the heat. Our life is like a vapor, a breath that vanishes away in the wind. That's Moses' request here. This is a request that David made also. A similar request is recorded in Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. The Psalm of David. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. There we read, Lord, make me to know mine end, the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. David is praying to God that God would teach him, help him to understand that his life is nothing before God, that the length of his life is but a handbreadth. A handbreadth, children, is the distance from here to here. So really, this is the gesture we should be using for the length of our days. Not arms stretched wide out from the day we're born to the day we die, but a handbreadth. That's how short our days are. And that's David's confession here. And he wants God to teach him that, to help him understand that so he knows how frail he is. We need to understand that our lives are weak and delicate. This is an important request because we so often forget this. Yes, every one of us knows that our days are numbered. Even the unbeliever knows that he's not going to live forever. Every person on this earth understands that there's coming a day that he's going to die. And so from a certain point of view, this might seem like a strange request. Why do we need to ask God to teach us to number our days? Well, it's an important request because even though we know this, so often we live as though our days are unlimited. We live as though we are guaranteed tomorrow. This includes living for the pleasures of life, setting our hearts on the things here below, focusing on the here and now rather than having eternity in view. This also includes squandering our time, wasting it as though we had an indefinite number of days in which to live our lives. In light of this fact that at times we forget this, in light of the fact that at times We live as though we have an endless number of days. This is an important request that we ask God to teach us to count our days, to understand how short our lives are. Now, there are especially two truths that are taught here in Psalm 90 that should spur us on in making this request, make us all the more eager to ask God to teach us to number our days. The first truth found here in Psalm 90 is the eternality of our God. God is eternal, and that's taught here in Psalm 90. That's the stark contrast in this psalm. There's our God who is eternal and man who is finite. We read of the fact that God's eternal in Psalm 90, verses 2 and 4. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And also verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as the watch in the night. That God is eternal means that He is limitless with respect to time. Our God is above time. He's outside of time. He's independent of time. There's no restrictions upon God from a temporal point of view. He has no beginning and He has no end. And now the truth that God is eternal should impress upon us the importance of having Him teach us to count our days, because when we consider the fact that God's eternal, we recognize we are finite creatures. That is to say, we are not like God. We do have a definite beginning and we have a definite end that is coming. And therefore, we should cry out with Moses, Lord, teach us to number our days. The second truth found here in Psalm 90 that should spur us on in making this request is the truth of God's wrath. Did you notice the many references to God's wrath here in this psalm? Notice verses 7, 9, and 11. Verse 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. In verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Moses was very conscious of God's wrath at this time, and he was conscious of it in light of the sins of the people of Israel. He mentions those in verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Verse 8 indicates to us that almost certainly Moses penned this psalm shortly after one of the great sins that Israel committed while they were in the wilderness, either the sin of worshiping the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai, or their failure, their refusal to enter the promised land. Either way, there was some great sin, and in light of that sin, Moses was impressed with God's wrath. And now that truth, that our God hates sin, and that He will punish sins committed against Him, should stir us to pray with Moses, teach us to number our days, because we remember we have an end. There is coming a day of reckoning. And knowing that we who are sinners will stand before a holy God who hates sin when we die, we say with Moses, Lord, teach us to number our days. That is the request that Moses makes here in this psalm. And Moses makes this request with a desired result in mind. The desired result is that he might gain a heart of wisdom. Second half of the verse. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And it's worth noting that that second half of the verse could really better be translated that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's a more literal interpretation or translation, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom is the skillful application of knowledge. That's the root idea. The root idea of the word wisdom in the Old Testament is skill. And the foundation, the basis of this wisdom is, first of all, knowledge and understanding. And then wisdom is taking that knowledge, that understanding, and skillfully making use of it, applying it and using it in the everyday events and matters of everyday life. The text speaks of gaining a heart of wisdom. Regarding our hearts, we learn from Proverbs 4, verse 23, that out of the heart flow all of the issues of life. So we understand that our hearts are the center, they're the fountain of all of our mental activity and all of our spiritual life. Now, putting those two together, wisdom and a heart of wisdom is a heart that's characterized by wisdom. It's a heart that's marked by wisdom. The wise heart knows the truth concerning God and the truth concerning oneself. But then the wise heart also takes that knowledge and skillfully applies it. It uses it and brings it to bear upon our lives and how we live our lives and conduct ourselves in this life. And now ultimately, that means a wise heart is a heart that's fixed on Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. That's the teaching of 1 Corinthians 1, verses 24 and 30. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 24 and 30. Verse 24 we read, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ," understood, "is the power of God and wisdom of God." Also verse 30, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." These verses clearly teach that Christ is the wisdom of God. For Christ is the very heart and center of God's eternal counsel to bring glory to His name and to accomplish the salvation of His people. And therefore, a heart of wisdom is a heart that's fixed on Jesus Christ. It's a heart that knows Jesus Christ and the truth concerning Him, that He's the only way of salvation, that He's the only way to escape the wrath of God for our sins. But more than merely knowing that, a heart of wisdom takes that knowledge and it applies that knowledge. It uses that knowledge by turning to Jesus Christ and seeking refuge in Him. Moses is asking for a heart of wisdom as the desired result of numbering our days. Remember that main request: teach us to number our days. Now understand that in terms of wisdom, of knowledge and using it. When Moses is asking God to teach us to number our days, that is, help me to know that. Impress that reality upon my heart and soul. It's evident from the fact of that word teach. The word teach there is cause to know. Give me this knowledge that my life is brief. But then help me also to take that knowledge and to apply that knowledge, to use that knowledge. And that comes out from the wording of the text. The language here is very deliberate. If all that Moses wanted was to have this knowledge regarding the brevity of life, he would simply pray, "Lord, teach me that life is relatively brief." But that's not his prayer. That's not his request. He prays, "Lord, teach us to number." Help us to count. That is, help us to apply the knowledge that life is brief. Moses is asking for the spiritual ability, the skill to live in harmony with the knowledge of our frailty. Now, specifically, this knowledge should make us careful in how we spend our time. Knowing how little time we have in this life, knowing how few our days are, should make us deliberate and intentional about how we spend our time. But now, what does that look like? We end the second point with three points of application, three ways in which we spend our time in a wise way. First, we apply this text by turning to Jesus Christ today. The future is not certain, and therefore it's not safe to delay. If you are walking impenitently in sin tonight, whether that sin is known to others or whether it's a sin that only you are aware of, the calling of the text is to seek Jesus Christ today, knowing that life is very brief. Or if there is someone here tonight who does not know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, the calling is to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ. To use the language of Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. That is, while we're still living. Do not wait until it's too late to believe in Jesus Christ, to trust in Him alone for your salvation. It's wisdom not to wait. Knowing that our days are brief, the measure of a handspan. Knowing that we are sinners who must stand before a holy God who will punish sin with His wrath. The application of that knowledge is to turn to Jesus Christ and to do so today. Just because we made it through 2019 is not any sort of a guarantee that we're going to have the whole of 2020 to live our lives. For not even tomorrow is a guarantee for any one of us sitting here tonight. And thus, first, we must seek Jesus Christ today. Second, we apply this text by being good stewards of the time that God has given us. By being good stewards of the time that God has given us. Knowing that we have so little time, so few days, we are to use it carefully. Just as God calls us to be good stewards of the money that we have and the possessions that we have, so too we are to take the time that God has given us and to be good stewards of it, to use it in a wise way. And that means ultimately using it for the glory of God's name. As stewards of our time, we need to be constantly stepping back and asking ourselves, how can I best use the time that I have? And now, not merely how can I best use it to get done what I need to accomplish in life, not merely how can I best use it to fulfill my own desires, but how can I best use the time for the glory of God? For the chief end of man is to glorify our God in all that we say and do, and that includes how we spend our time. Church history provides us with an excellent example of a man who understood the value of time and the importance of being a good steward of it. And that example is Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was an outstanding American theologian. And even if we would not agree with everything that he wrote or taught, nevertheless, Jonathan Edwards was reformed in his understanding. And Jonathan Edwards understood the brevity of human life and the importance of using the time that we have. And that comes out especially in his resolutions. Jonathan Edwards is famous for writing 70 resolutions. These were not New Year's resolutions, but at a time of spiritual strength in his right, he wrote down 70 ways in which he intended to live his life by the grace of God. And several of them had to do with how we use our time. And I'd like to read three of them tonight. Number 5, quote, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can, end quote. In other words, Jonathan Edwards saying is, I don't want to waste a single moment of time, but I want to take all of the time I have and use it in the best possible way. Number 7, quote, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life, end quote. In other words, Jonathan Edwards is saying, when I come to that very last hour of life, if I knew that I only had 60 minutes left to live, there are certain things I would not do. Well, if I wouldn't do them at that very last hour, why would I do them now? And finally, number 52, quote, I frequently hear persons in old age say how they would live if they were to live their lives over again, resolved that I will live just so as I can think I shall wish I had done, supposing I live to old age. We've all heard others saying, if only I could go back in time, I would change this, I would change that, I wouldn't do this, I would be sure to do that. And Jonathan Edwards recognized that and saying, well, understanding that to be true, I want to do those things now. I want to avoid the things that later on in life I'll regret. And I want to do the things that I wish I'd spent more time on. The purpose in bringing these up is because these are good reminders to us for how we can be good stewards of the precious little time that we are given. Third, we apply this text by not wasting the limited time we do have. By not wasting the limited time we do have. It's for good reason that God withholds from us the knowledge of how many days we have left to live. For if he told us we had X number of years or X number of days like he did for Hezekiah, almost certainly we would do the same as Hezekiah and become careless in how we lived our lives. If God told us tonight, you have 15 years left to live, almost certainly we would squander those 15 years. But knowing that any day could be our last, we apply this knowledge by not wasting the time that we do have. This means not wasting our time with things that are obviously sinful. I dare say every one of us here has grown up with a good understanding of God's Word. In other words, by and large, we know what's right and wrong. There are some areas where we encounter situations and we wonder, what can I best do here? But overall, we have a good understanding of these are the things that are clearly sinful. And we waste our time, we squander our time if we spend it in those things that are obviously sinful. Whether that's excessive drinking, whether that's using drugs, whether that's watching pornography, to use some of the obvious examples, those are things that are blatant sins. And we're wasting our life if we're spending our time in those things. But this also includes wasting our time in this digital age. One of the great dangers of living at this time in the history of the world as we go from 2019 to 2020, one of the great dangers is being consumed with our televisions, with our computers, with our tablets, and with our phones. It's so easy for us to waste time, to fritter it away on our electronic devices. And this is true even if what we're doing is not sinful in and of itself. There are many ways that we can spend our time on our electronic devices, and could honestly say there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to ask, is this profitable? Is there any value in this? Am I glorifying God in how I'm spending my time? Knowing the brevity of human life, we apply that knowledge by not wasting it in front of our screens, by not allowing it to go down the drain, as the expression goes, but taking the time that God has given us and using it to serve our God in a God-glorifying way, seeking to be good stewards of our time. But now there's only one who can teach us to do this. We need a divine teacher to enable us to number our days and to gain a heart of wisdom. And obviously, Jehovah God is that divine teacher. This request of Moses, the prayer addressed to God. Notice the language. Teach us to number our days. That verb is in the imperative. And imperatives addressed to God are petitions. This is a prayer of Moses. For example, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're stating imperatives to our God. Give us this day our daily bread. That's not being rude or demanding to God. That's how He teaches us to pray. God would have us be very direct in our requests and in our prayers. And that's what Moses is doing here. He's praying to God, asking Him to teach him to number his days. And this is necessary because this is something of ourselves we are not able to do. Yes, man can count. Little children can count. And men can solve these complex mathematical formulas that take up an entire whiteboard. But no man, by his own ability, is able to number his days in this way, to know that life is brief and to take that knowledge and to apply it. And thus we need a divine teacher. Therefore, we join Moses in making this request. And this is a prayer that God will indeed answer. For God is the great teacher of wisdom. He's the source of all wisdom. For the glory of our God is not only that He is the eternal God who has no beginning of days and no end of days, but He's also the God who is infinite in His wisdom. Wisdom is one of His attributes. He has a perfect knowledge of all things. And He takes that knowledge and He skillfully uses it in the execution of His eternal counsel. And thus, for those of us who desire a heart of wisdom, there's no one else to whom we can turn. There's no one else who can teach us this wisdom other than our God. It's to Him alone that we turn. And God teaches us this wisdom. He teaches us to number our days by His Word and Spirit. He teaches us by His Word, for His Word reveals to us the truth concerning God and the truth concerning ourselves. God's Word explains exactly why our days are limited. It's because we fell in Adam. And God's Word teaches us that we are sinners who stand before a holy God and therefore need Jesus Christ. God teaches us to number our days by His Word. That means, as a side note, something that we could spend a whole point on, that one of the best ways to spend our time is reading and studying God's Word to us. He teaches us by His Word, but He also teaches us by His Spirit. For he has sent the Spirit of Christ to live and to dwell in our hearts. And it's that Spirit who gives us this spiritual grace to take the knowledge that we have and to make use of it. For the Spirit is the one who illumines God's Word and enables us to understand it. And it's the Spirit of Christ working within us that empowers us to take that knowledge and to apply it to the way we live our lives. So we look to our God, the divine teacher, who will teach us by His Word and Spirit. And we ask Him to do so, praying with Moses, teach us to number our days. And doing so with confidence. Because this is a prayer that God delights to answer. God's Word teaches us that He gives wisdom to those who ask in faith. And therefore, to pray this prayer is to pray in harmony with God's will. We see this, for example, in Proverbs 2, verses 3 through 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her wisdom as silver, and searchest her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God gives wisdom to those who seek it. This is also the teaching of James chapter 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Are we convinced of the importance of numbering our days? Then let us join Moses in asking God to teach us to understand the brevity of human life and to apply that knowledge to the way we live. And let us fix our hearts on Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ there is forgiveness for the many times in the past year that we have wasted our time, that we've squandered it away. There's forgiveness for that sin too in the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's also in Jesus Christ the spiritual ability, the wisdom to number our days. And so at the end of 2019, we close this year by fixing our hearts and minds upon our Savior, the one who is the wisdom of God. Amen. Lord, teach us to number our days and give unto us a heart of wisdom. Father, forgive us where we have sinned with regards to the use of our time, and help us to apply this word that we have heard tonight. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.